Well, we've been talking about the path up the mountain to where we can come into a deeper presence of God and know Him in greater ways, be transformed into His likeness, so that we are prepared to carry the glory. I had talked about that Garden of Gethsemane experience, and I shared in prayer, but it's a time where you want to be prepared to carry the glory of God. And I hope you're seeking that for yourself at home. Tonight we're going to talk about a highway in Isaiah 35. I want to read through some verses there if you want to go there with me. But this highway is part of our path. This is a highway that will lead us up to a higher place, to a place of deeper intimacy with God, if we'll walk this path, this highway. So Isaiah 35, I'm going to read through verse 10, just read through it, and then I want to go back and break it up and show you what God gave me as I prayed into it. And by the way, if you're studying the Bible, my son shared last night, he said, you know, after you've read the Bible for years and years, sometimes you think, I already know all this stuff. But God will wake it up and show you what you didn't see. He'll show you how to apply it in new ways. But just breathe new life into it if you really hunger for that and ask Him for that. And like, we could read straight through this and be done. But when you say, God, show me something. Show me why you brought me here. What is in this for us? And then go back again and take it slow and let Him speak to you. And my son has got a Bible teacher in his church right now that's doing that kind of thing. And he was excited, he said, because it's wakening up God's word in new ways. So let's read through verse 1 through 10. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come, and then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not e'er enter therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Lord, we just ask you to quicken your word. We ask you to open your word. Just give us the treasures of these verses this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go back. I'm going to do this a little bit out of order because I want to go to verse 8 and 9 first, and then we're going to go back to 1. So look down to verse 8 and 9. A highway shall be there and a way. It shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. Now look at those verses, what God showed me. It was just like it opened up like a picture. We're walking through this world, and you just picture all the roads and all the paths of life and all the busyness of people, all that matters to them, having a house, having a wife, having children, getting my favorite pet. What kind of career do I want? Where do I want to go to college? Who's my best friend? How did they break my heart? And all these issues of life, like busy, busy roads. But then there's a highway. It's like an overpass. But it's invisible to those below because it's God's highway. It's the holy highway. It's the spiritual realm. And only certain people live through this lifetime walking on that highway above everything else in a different reality from this temporary mindset below. And I just saw that picture and it was so awesome. And then he said, only the redeemed of the Lord could walk on that highway. See, everybody can't get on it because there's no evil allowed on it. There's no sin allowed on it. There's no error allowed on it. Then what are we doing on it? Because he paid for all that. Because we are the ransomed of the Lord. And we're allowed. He even said the wayfaring men. A wayfaring man, I looked this word up, is somebody who's determined. Somebody who has set their mind to go after God. And he said, even though these wayfaring men are determined to come after me, they're still fools. I mean, we don't know much. We're still just human. He says, but they're not going to mess up. They're not going to err. Because they're the ones who have said, that's my highway. That's my choice. I'm going after God, and I'm staying on that path after God. And he said, even if you are a little foolish, it's okay. Because I pay for all that. I protect you. And I just do mercies all over you. As long as you stay on my highway, you're going to be fine. And this is one of the paths. This is part of our path because this is what leads. That highway, without even realizing it, we're living in that spiritual realm, but it's actually ascending that mountain closer to the presence of God. Because as long as we stay on it, we grow closer, closer, closer. Eternal life is to know him. The closer we come in intimacy, the more we know him. And the more we know him, behold him, the more we're changed. It just happens. Now we're going to go back to verse 1 and look at this. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. For who? The wayfaring men, the redeemed of the Lord. The wilderness and solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. There's a difference in the wilderness, the solitary place, and the desert. There's a big difference. We are in a wilderness together right now. We are not in the busyness of the church, of the greater body of the church. We don't have 10,000 members. We don't even have what we used to have, you know, with hundreds of members. We have very, very few because we have been separated and put in a wilderness place together as a body. There's a purpose for that. And it's been like not what the big things God's doing, but like he's not doing anything. What's going on here? Why are we in a wilderness and we're in it together? But then a solitary place is very different. Solitary place is where each one of you are in your own place with God. What you're going through is for you and you alone. Other people don't understand it. You can try to share it, and they may care, but nobody knows what you feel, what you need, except God. It's where you and God alone. We could have played Misty's. It's you and me alone, God. You know, it's just you and me alone. And there's always that solitary place where nobody else can be there with you. It's your place with God. And then there's that desert. And the desert is a time of dryness. It's not a time when we're seeing all the healings and we're having the great visitations and everything is all happy. It's just like, wow, what's going on? I used to see these great things of God. All my gifts used to function, and now I'm like dried up, you know, on a shelf or something. Things are not happening. And that's the desert place. So God said there's a wilderness together. There's a solitary place that you're in. And then there's a season of desert and dryness when nothing's happening. And this is all part of God's preparation. It's all on that highway that we're traveling, and it's meant to be there. There's a reason for it being there. But it also says that there's going to be blossoming. Something's going to blossom and grow out there where nothing can grow, where it looks like nothing could grow. We don't feel growth right now, but this is what's coming in verse 2. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon, They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Two Hebrew words were put together to form the word abundant. Together they mean there's going to be a breaking forth, a spreading, something that's not just going to grow a little daisy, but something's going to grow so enormously that it's like it has wings and it flies into the air with pollen that it shakes out and causes a great multiplication. That's what's going to happen. Amen. Suddenly, the growth of God in our life and in this church suddenly is going to just begin to spread. When we get that sudden blossoming of God inside of us, it's going to become contagious. We're going to carry pollen around. We're going to fly with it. Not only will we grow fruit, but it's a picture of that pollen. And this is what I see as release. This is the release we've looked for. Who are we affecting sitting here in a wilderness, a desert, all alone? Who are we affecting? Don't worry. There's a little flower budding inside of us, inside of you, that will suddenly come to the surface. Suddenly, it will just be powerful. That's the release we've been talking about. Extreme productive ministry. Everything God is doing. When it happens, it says we're going to rejoice with joy and singing. So the definition of those words, I love it. I'm just going to put them together and give it to you all at once. We are going to be spinning around in circles, dancing, jumping up and down with excitement, filled with glee, so much that we're going to be shouting, crying in celebration at the coming of what we have waited so long to see. You know, God is so expressive, and we need to look at his words and what they came from in the Hebrew or the Greek, wherever we're reading, because he didn't just say, when it finally happens, you're going to like it. When it finally happens, you're going to get excited. No, he gave us a word that meant you're going to jump out of your seat, spin around, and shout because you're so excited that it finally happened. This is thrilling, the most thrilling thing we've ever been waiting to see. So this is our release, and it's coming. He promised. He said, I put you in the wilderness. I put you in solitary confinement, and I put you in a dry desert. But be encouraged. He told Isaiah, write these words of encouragement. Because the day is coming that everything that's going on under the surface is going to break ground and just fly. And you're going to be so excited. I like that he talked about the glory of Lebanon, the excellency of Carmel, and Sharon, that they are going to see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Because as soon as I read those three things, those are three mountains. They're not Zion. And we always think, I'm going up God's mountain, I'm going up Zion, I'm going up Mount Sinai where Moses went up. And we talk about the holy mountain of God being Zion. But what he said here was three specific different mountains. You're not in this alone. There are plantings of the Lord all over and the mountains are different. And even the mountain that you're ascending right now might be different than the mountain I'm ascending right now. Because there's different things of God going on. But let's just assume we're all right here at Mount Horeb. Sinai and Horeb are the same mountain, by the way. But what they are is a different face of the same mountain. The first time that Moses went up Mount Sinai, he went up one side. When he brought the people back, they were coming up a different side. He came up a different side of that mountain. I studied that out this week. So that's why the name is different, but it is the same mountain range. Well, now God is saying, you're focused. Is set on Mount Sinai or Mount Zion. Your focus is there with what you see my glory, what portion of me you see, what portion of God you're reflected, created to reflect, is that part of God you're seeing as you climb your mountain. He said, but you're not the only one on the face of the earth. I have lots of mountains in different faces of me for people to ascend. And it's all going to be seen. God is going to bring such a massive revelation of who he is. And every single person will carry a different little aspect of God. Every church will carry a different general aspect. And every person will carry a different individual aspect. And all together, he said, they're going to see it. They're going to see it. They're going to see it. You're going to see it. How could a God show who he is entirely through one person or one church? It's through many, many different mountains. It's just amazing. So he talked about the glory of Lebanon. And the glory meant this character, this reflection of God through their own experiences, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. It set excellency meant an ornament of splendor. How do they wear Jesus? It meant the majestic character of God. Both of this, it was saying the character of God in a different way, which confirmed everybody carrying this expression of God in a different way. It was really amazing. I love that. So God is going to shine through his people in many, 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 many ways. And he's warned us before, when you see what I'm going to do through your church, don't judge what you see others doing that's totally different. Because it still is God. Okay, go to verse 3. And let's look at the release. Oh, what's going to happen? What's the purpose or the effect of our release? It's a rescue mission. So in verse 3 it says, when this happens, or even now, by faith, strengthen the weak hands and confirm those feeble knees. A renewed life. Have them get their dreams back. Don't give up. Hold on. All the promises of God are true. Judy, they're all going to happen. She prophesied that this morning. And when your purpose is revived in you, your dream is revived in you, your strength is revived in you. The way to strengthen those who are weak, the way to get them to stand up again is to make them believe in their dream. Make them believe in what God gave them. Don't give up on it. Hold on to it. Isaiah 35:4. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and he will save you. Now let's take those words. Vengeance. We see an angry God coming. That's what we think when we see vengeance. With a recompense, giving people what they got coming, what's due them. But who is that aimed at? Not you, because it said he's going to save you. We are rescuing human beings, rescuing people. The vengeance is against the demons. Right. It's against the devil. It's against the one who has messed with God's wonderful, beloved creation. He's not mad at humanity. He's mad at the deceiving, lying demons who keep hurting his humanity. He comes to save humanity. And he comes with a vengeance against his enemy, against your enemies, against the ones that tell you you're no good and you're a failure and it's never going to... That's your enemy and God's going to come wipe them out. He's going to wipe them out.
Amen.
Verse 5. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. I want to give you a parallel thought right now, because God reminded me of it when I was looking at this. Here come the miracles. Everybody talks about the great move of God, raising the dead, healing the blind, you know, just growing arms and limbs out. That's going to happen. But when? When did it happen? And who did it happen through? It happened because of the people who had gone through wilderness, because they lived in the solitary walk, because they had been living with God and preparing. And then came the miracles. Then came the miracles, because some people are prepared to carry the presence of God, and that presence of God will do the healing. But there's a timing for it. There's a timing for it. It follows this preparation season before it happens. But what he reminded me of is physical things that happen, because God's highway is the spiritual realm. So what's going on in the physical is always a parallel to what he's doing in the spirit. So yes, physically, blind are going to see. But, I mean, physically. And spiritually, people are going to see.
Right.
Spiritual eyes are going to be opened. And that's what gets really exciting. And people are going to begin to hear the truth of God. And I just saw it like, Satan has got all this cotton of lies and deceptions that he's stuffed in our ears, and God's just going to unplug them. He's just going to unplug them.
Amen.
So we can hear. Not just us, but the people we're going to rescue. Suddenly they're going to see God. Suddenly they're going to hear God. they're not going to be blind anymore. I once was blind, but now I see. It's more than a physical blindness. It's a spiritual blindness. That's going to open their eyes. And in the where it says that their blind shall be, their eyes shall be opened, the definition was humble knowledge of truth opens their eyes. Humble knowledge of truth will open their eyes. It's amazing. Verse 6. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart. Now it didn't just say he's going to walk or run. He said he's going to leap. He is going to be suddenly walking a new life. He's going to leap like a deer. Got any hunters in the room? How do deer walk? How do they walk? Why? Why do they walk quietly? Why don't they just stomp around?
To
be cautious, to be careful, to be cautious. They look, they listen, they're cautious. And he said, you're going to walk like a deer, Rick. They learn how to walk and avoid the enemy. Yes. They do run. They leap, they run. They can run on mountaintops. I mean, they're amazing when they run. But they don't just run. They walk carefully, slowly, watching, listening. God says, after you've gone through this preparation, you're going to learn how to walk. And you're not going to get shot and taken down so quick by your enemy now because you're more careful. You're more careful. They do. They know how to stay still, too. Yeah, they know how to find water. And the tongue of the dumb shall sing. Well, there's two ways to take that. Physically, those people who could not speak are going to be able to speak. So what does that mean spiritually? We're going to be able to speak and witness boldly. Those people that were kind of, I can't talk. They're going to get over that insecurity and they're going to be able to speak. But also, dumb, we could take that the other way, you know. We could say they're going to have more knowledge to know what to speak about too. But that's not how this one was meant, so we won't go there. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. We know what water that's talking about. The living waters of life. The living waters of the life of Christ will flow freely, abundantly into the desert, bringing this water of life to all who are thirsty. Verse 7, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. This is going to be such a releasing of God that even sea creatures, even the bottom feeders in the ocean are going to have more presence of God feeding and nourishing them. Little thing to think about here is the invitation. Bringing people to this mountain. We want other people to get on this path toward God. And that's why he told us to encourage them. Get them back on their feet. Get them back up on the highway and off down the running around in these ruts and pits on the world. Eternal life is to know him. Not just meet him. To know him. How are they going to know him? Except we carry a reality of who he is.
There you go.
And release the presence of God. Telling them won't work. You got to release the real God. Everything you know and say and could tell them is just words in the ears. This has to be spirit to spirit. You have to have this transformation to where the real presence of God will come out of you and touch another spirit to where they go, oh, I want to know God too. Verse 8, all the way through 10, and a highway shall be there and a way. And it will be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men. Though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, meaning the wrong lion, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return. I see backsliders coming back to Jesus when I read that. People have been disillusioned by churches and Christians who don't really... Somebody that's been saved and known God for years and years and years just recently experienced God smiling at her. All those years she saw a God of judgment that she feared. Suddenly she saw Jesus smile at her. It changes you. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their head. They shall obtain joy and gladness. The sorrow and sighing shall flee away. All the sorrow and sighing will flee away if we can just get them on the highway to heaven. Well, that's Isaiah's highway prophesied for us today. And there we can see where we're headed, what's going to happen, and how wonderful it is. So we just pray this morning, Lord, plant our feet on that highway. Just unplug our ears right now and open our eyes to see there is that road. And there is a wilderness. There is a desert. There is solitary times. But we accept them because we see when the waters of life are going to flow freely. We see it, Lord. We're waiting for it. We're moving toward it by wanting deeper intimacy with you. We just want to behold you and all the beautiful glory of who you are so that you can live through us freely. So keep us on our journey, Lord. We invite you. Amen.